My name's Ian Brown. I'm project manager for the Doohan Valley Council, who are trying to redevelop the whole Willow Court site. What I thought I'd do is just give you a brief overview of the whole place and what we hope to do with some of these buildings. Then I'll hand over to Tony, who's an absolute guru on the history of this place. He also knows a hell of a lot about the Doohan Valley region as well. So if I'm asking anything, not just about the site, he's probably the best person to ask. Where you stand, this building in front of you is called the Barracks Building. Tony will explain the history later. The next one along, which you have to go into, if you haven't been in already, is Ward C. Then you've got the Bronte Building, and then behind Bronte is Alana, which is the Women's High Security Prison, which was built about 1966-67, thereabout. Okay. The council owns all of these.
All the buildings you can see up here, including this one, everything down that way, on this side of the avenue, is now owned by the private sector, by a variety of different people for different purposes, accommodation, community house where you've been, there's an antique centre, the Lions Club, the Sonic Club, there's a backpackers hotel, there's a carpenter's workshop just behind the Barracks Building here. There's a whole variety of uses. Everything on the other side of the avenue here is owned by council, and we're in close and almost finished conversation now with developers to reuse the oval and the four buildings around it. Okay, so that'll just leave us with cascading. So we've sold half the site, we've got plans for all of these buildings, we just need $3 million to pull it off. Minor problem?
Yeah.
Minor problem. Okay. What we want to do with this building is from the middle of the building going to that left-hand corner, we want to use after a thing called life behind the wall. We want to tell the story of what it was like to either be a patient here, or a member of the staff, or a visiting person coming to see family. Okay. The one on the left-hand side, we want to recreate that as an art gallery of world-class standard, housing psychiatric art from the Cunningham Dex Gallery in Melbourne. He's got about 9,000 pieces of art, and he used to work here. He was the chief psychiatrist in Tasmania, I think, in the 60s, wasn't he? We want to do that. And this building here, we want to use this section of it as an art gallery for people who are currently going through therapy-type programs using art to try and help them with their life. And we also want to use it as a ticketing centre, restaurants, toilets, stuff like that. So this has got somewhere to go. And we're going to use C Ward as a walk-through experience because with a bit of a clean-up, basically is what it was. Okay. We don't want to change it very much. The reason we want to do that, we've developed the marketing strategy and the whole experience and tested in the market. It's the only place in the world that you can actually come and deal with the issue of difference. This place is here because people were assessed as different at some time between settlement and 2001 by someone else in the position of power usually. Okay. Tony can tell you how that all started and where it's all come from why it grew. And the most common question I get is where are all the people now? Because there used to be 1,000 patients here, about 1,000 staff at its peak. And over a week you'd probably get 1,000 people coming and going, visitors and specialists and other people. Okay. So it used to be a town within a town. In the township of Norfolk is right next door, they had 4,000 or 5,000 people in it. 3,000 people here. It's quite phenomenal. Okay, so, and the answer I give to that question is they're living next door to you. And that stuns people. Okay, I had a group of 300 women here as part of a National Alliance group about 4 years ago, and I made that comment, and the place went really quiet for about 3 minutes. You can either hear them thinking about the whole issue about, well, yeah, my neighbour has an issue, or I know someone, so on it goes. We know a third of all the visitors who come to Tasmania have a direct or indirect relationship with someone who has a mental illness. And we know that from our research, it's quite phenomenal. About 20% of the population have some form of disability. You know all these numbers, or you probably come across them in your training. Okay, so it's a huge proportion of the population. And as you're going around, there are two things I'd like you to have in the back of your mind. The first is a challenge for you. What would you do if you were in charge of this place and it was 1840? What would you have done? How would you have treated people? What decisions would you have made? What sort of people would you have employed? What sort of buildings would you have constructed? You need to think about the power balance back then, government policy, society's expectations. The line I often use when Tony's here is, if you went back to 1830, no one wanted to be here. Okay. No one. Patients, military, no one. They were all sent here. Most people couldn't read and write. Some of the people who were sent here were very broken people, physically and mentally. Might have been alcoholics, might have been blind, whatever it was. They were sent here because this was Tasmania's response. This was the centralist policy. They all came here, didn't matter where you came from.
Okay. The other thing I'd like you to think about is the impact this place had on this community outside this place. 170 years, this place provided a level of care for the most disadvantaged people in society, and your Norfolk has suffered from that for a long time. And when I give these sort of talks at the university and schools and things, I ask them to think back to their childhood, and they clearly remember, as I do, that if you heard someone from your Norfolk was coming down, your first instinct was to say that person was probably a man. Everyone knows it's true. It is true. It's less and less of an issue now. So the local people here developed an attitude which was, you breed them, we'll feed them. That was their only response. And there are no more on a percentage basis local people here than anywhere else in Tasmania. And there are very few people buried here, because when they died, if they were still here, they went back to their home, like to the West Coast or anywhere in Tasmania. So you need to think about the impact on the community. And there are parts of the world now that are going back to institutionalisation, because there are still some people who cannot cope in the current array of services that are around. Okay. So it could be in 10 years' time that you are standing at a new home, which is providing services and treatment. That's part of the evolution. All right? And they're all difficult topics. I don't expect any answers, but I challenge people all the time. And part of the experience here is going to give people the chance to actually have to think about those issues as they wander around. In order to charge people a fee, we need to put the art and other things in there. Otherwise, people just come and look at the building. You can do that anyway. Tasmania's got a beautiful building. On its own, it doesn't generate a revenue, so the council can't maintain the place. All right?